So I'm just going to pray over Heather for this morning. We're very excited to hear her share on waiting on the Lord. Father God, thank you for Heather. Thank you that despite these few weeks leading up, there was a lot of back and forth, and just seeing how your hand has been gently guiding her to this opportunity to share what you have been speaking to her. And just thank you for all of the opportunities that you've given her in showing her what it means to wait on you. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless this time, that you would speak powerfully through her. Give us ears to hear the words that she's speaking. And we pray that we would leave encouraged and just reminded that, yeah, our strength is renewed as we wait on you. Amen.
Good morning, Christ Says. A couple of weeks ago, quite a few weeks ago, I really felt a connection with the topic for today's sermon, which was waiting well. And I was like, oh, I would love to preach on that. And as a preaching team, we met, talked about the different topics, and it just sat with me. I'm like, Lord, I know I want to do that one. And then I lost my brother so unexpectedly a month ago. It was a month yesterday. And I said, Lord, I don't think I can preach. I don't think I can preach. And I felt him say, just trust me. And when we met as an elders team and we were talking about the preaching, or it was one of our deacons' meetings, they were all like, sure, Heath, I don't know, it's coming up pretty soon. Are you going to be okay? And I was like, yes, because I know God wants me to preach on this. And so I've really had to press in. But what's so beautiful about the Lord is that he knows exactly what we need in our time of need. He knows exactly what's in our head and in our heart. And so this past week, I had 3 days with some ladies from the NCMI team. And it was such a beautiful time for me because it felt like God personally saw me. He saw everything about me. He saw my needs. He saw my insecurities. He saw exactly how I needed encouragement. And through a number of different ladies that came up to me one-on-one, they shared and prayed things over me that only God could have known I was thinking and feeling. Even down to the point that we had a journaling session, and I specifically wrote words in my journal, specific words to the Lord. And about a half an hour later, someone came up to me and said, can I just pray for you? And I said, yes, of course. And she prayed those same words over me. And they were very specific words that I had chosen with the Lord and used in my journaling. And so I just felt like God really saw me. And it was like he gave me a great big hug. In fact, during one of the morning sessions, as the lady was speaking, one of the things she had shared is about how God called her into a space to sit on his lap. And she said she walked into the lounge one morning and there was an indentation in the couch, like someone had been sitting there. And she felt Father God say to her, just come sit with me. And as she sat, it was warm and she felt held by God. And I connected with that moment while she was speaking. And so I said, Lord, just sit, let me sit with you and just hold me and encourage me and strengthen me ahead of preaching on Sunday. And the lady, after she had preached, she made a beeline for me. She had said, anyone who'd like prayer, come forward. And my legs became absolutely like solid cement and they wouldn't move and I just stood. And despite that, she came and she moved chairs out of the way. And she said, Father God wants you to sit on his lap. He wants to hold you. And I was so encouraged that God had heard my little prayer. Lord, can I also sit on your lap and can you hold me? So I'm so encouraged and I'm actually so excited to share with you today about waiting well. So I was thinking, you know, we all spend a lot of time waiting, don't we? Don't we hate waiting? Like I was thinking, you know, we have to wait in line at Spa and Checkers. We wait in line at Home Affairs, that's the worst. We wait in line even to fill up with petrol. We have to sit in our cars and wait. We wait for news from family and friends. We wait for responses about messages we send to friends. We wait for that blue tick and then the little typing thing that shows that they're responding, or the little audio thing that shows they're actually sending you a voice note. That's always more exciting. We wait for promotions at work. Somehow we wait for a promotion, we get it, and then we wait for the next one straight away. Some of you are waiting in this room for a partner, a lifetime partner. That's a very precious thing to be waiting for. Some of us are waiting for comfort from the Lord or waiting for an answer to a prayer. Some are just waiting for the next season of life to start. What are you waiting for today? How are you waiting for it? Waiting seasons can really be refining seasons, can't they? They can be seasons of seeking and becoming. They present us with such an opportunity for an internal shift in our thinking and our beliefs. A bit like a heart audit. Are there any auditors in the room or sort of tax practitioners? Auditing must be so boring. But we do heart audits when we wait. Or we should be while we wait. Saying, Lord, what are you actually saying? What are you doing in me? And our waiting needs to be active. We need to be pressing into Jesus. We need to be giving up our desire for control. We need to be actively trusting in God's timing. We need to be actually obeying his word. That's what we do when we wait well. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good. He is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, therefore the Lord waits. He also waits. The Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all those who wait for him. Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, from of old no one has heard or perceived by ear, and no eye has seen, a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. So God is actively at work in our waiting, while we are actively waiting on him. Isn't that a beautiful picture? There's an author, Paul Tripp. Some of you may read quite a bit of his stuff online or one of his books. In his book, A Shelter in the Time of Storm, he says, remember that waiting isn't just about what you're hoping for at the end of the wait, but also about what you will become as you wait. Waiting on God shapes our plans. Waiting on God shapes our ministries. Waiting on God shapes projects. Waiting on God can even shape a whole season of your life that Jesus has purposed for you to do. Are you prayerfully expectant as you wait? We all know the wonderful, the joy of seeing a pregnant belly and knowing that that's evidence of a new life to come. There's such an excitement, such a tangible, physical expectancy. Lord, you are birthing something new. Are you prayerfully expecting of what you cannot see, what there's no evidence of? Are you expectant of what God will do? When we are prayerful, we realize that our power and our wisdom has limits. I was listening to someone the other day. One of the ladies at the conference was saying, she was Afrikaans, and she was saying, my English limit for the day is running out. And I thought, yes, that's the same with our waiting. Our wisdom and our power has limits. But God's power is without limit. The Lord always does what he says he will do. So just to take you through a quick little overview in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah, they waited 25 years expectantly. Some of you are not even 25. You don't even know how long that is. They waited expectantly for their son Isaac that was promised. Jacob, a young man in love. Now, you know how hard, those of you that are young and in love, you know how hard it is to wait. He waited 14 years to marry his beloved. 14 years. Hannah spent years in the temple in deep prayer, waiting for her sorrow to turn to joy. Joseph, who's 17 here? Anyone 17? Okay, that whole table and one over there. He was 17 when his brothers sold him into slavery. He was 17. That's quite a thought. And only 13 years later did Pharaoh appoint him ruler over all Egypt. 13 years. Who's 30 here? Do you even remember being 17? He was sold into slavery to the officer, to a chief officer of Pharaoh, who then wrongfully cast him into prison because he was accused of something he didn't do. He interpreted dreams successfully, and you would have thought that would have brought about a change. But then there were two silent years where it was like he'd just been forgotten in prison. And then he got the opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And then he was remembered. And he was 30 at that point. 13 years. It's a long time to wait. What I love in that story of Joseph was, it keeps on saying, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph throughout the story. He expected the hand of God, and God came through for him. David, he was anointed king and then had to wait and wait and hide. He was being hunted by Saul. His very life was in danger, and he had to wait and wait for the appointed time to be made king over Israel officially while Saul was hunting him down. Daniel petitioned God persistently, fasting and praying. Jesus himself had to wait 30 years while he was being prepared for his ministry. Some of you at 17 think you're ready to take on the world. Some at 25 think, this is it, they couldn't get any better than this. Jesus had to wait 30 years before the appointed time of his ministry began. The important thing is that when we are waiting, we need to be trusting God for his promises. I love in Joshua 21, at the very end in verse 45, it says, not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel, not one word of all the good promises the Lord made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. That's verse 45. All of the promises of God came to pass. He gave them land, he gave them rest, and he gave their enemies over into their hands. We really must never settle for a temporary fulfillment or a shortcut that's outside of God's will. Whatever God has promised, he will do. Okay, so that is just a little introduction to actually the text for today, which is from Acts. So can we turn to Acts chapter 1? Last week we read from verse 1 to verse 9. And today we're starting in Acts 1 verse 12. Begins with the word then. So we need to say, well, what happened before the then? Because something very exciting happened before the then. And that was that Jesus had been appearing to the disciples for 40 days. And then he said to them, wait. He said, wait. In verse 4 from last week. Wait for the promise of the Father. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So there are a whole number of promises packaged in there with one word that they hang on. Wait. Wait for this, and I will give you this, this, and this. So that's where we pick up verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath's day journey away. So a Sabbath's day journey was the maximum distance you were allowed to walk on the Sabbath, which was 0.6 miles. It's equivalent of about a kilometer. They were not allowed to walk further than that on the Sabbath. It was considered work. So it wasn't far that they had to walk 1 kilometer back to Jerusalem. But they were obeying God because Jesus had said to them, do not depart from Jerusalem. So they were obeying step one of the waiting, which was they were going back to Jerusalem. Verse 13, and when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So let's just pause there for a minute. They were waiting. They had obeyed. They'd gone to Jerusalem, and now they were waiting. It says, with one accord, they were devoting themselves to prayer, because he had said, wait there for the promise of the Father. And so they were actively waiting. They're like, well, we can't just sit and drink tea. Let's pray. And that's what we should be doing when we wait. Lord, you promised this. I'm not just going to sit and drink tea. I'm going to pray. And it doesn't say that they just prayed once a day. It says they devoted themselves to prayer. That means they were intentional about praying in their season of waiting. Jesus knew that before his followers could focus on their witness and their mission, they had to position themselves to receive the Holy Spirit. And so he did just that. He said, wait. And they responded in obedience. We are so grateful, aren't we, that they responded obediently, because through their waiting and their receiving of the Holy Spirit, the church was birthed. We wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have known about Jesus if they hadn't been obedient in their waiting. God always prepares his people by giving us the power that we need, the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's just look back on a little bit of context. I love what the Lord showed me about the timing of the waiting, because I find timing very frustrating. We were courting or dating, whatever you want to call it, for a few years before we got married, and I was so frustrated in the waiting. All my friends were getting married. It's like, what's wrong with me? Why won't he marry me? But God had to make me ready to be Doug's wife. I needed to become Doug's wife. Doug needed to become the husband that I needed. And God was doing things in our lives. There's beauty in the waiting. Don't rush the waiting. You rush the waiting, you miss out on what you'll become. And it's always better. It's always better to be what God wants you to become. So, back to the story. We have Passover. That happened. Jesus died. Jesus rose from the dead, miraculously. He then started appearing on and off. For 40 days, he was appearing to people. I'd have loved to have read more stories about those days. There must be so many of all of the times that he was appearing to people. I wonder what he would have said to all of them and what they were wrestling and struggling with. And then he gave them instruction and ascended to heaven. But what is so incredible is that God used the timing of the Passover, you know, where they would have been celebrating the Passover lamb. He used that, as we know as believers, to take the perfect lamb, the Son of God, and he was crucified for us. But then look, the very next thing that the Jews would have been celebrating would have been Pentecost. And that was 50 days after Passover. They used to call it the Feast of the Harvest. They used to call it the Feast of First Fruits, or the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And it was a festival, it was a feast. And what was so incredible in Leviticus 23 is it says, you shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then you shall present a grain offering of new grain to the Lord. That was the instruction to the people. And so exactly 50 days after Passover, they would all, from every nation, wherever they lived, bring the first grain of the wheat harvest, bring it to the temple, together with loaves of bread and seven lambs and one bull and two rams and a male goat and a whole lot of things that they had to bring. But the grain was the important thing. The first grain of their wheat harvest they would bring, and the priest would wave it with the loaves of bread that they had made with leaven, and they would... Leviticus describes it as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And so people from all over were coming back to Jerusalem, because Passover had happened and they'd gone back to their homes. Now they would travel back to Jerusalem for this feast. And God, in his perfect timing, as only God does, orchestrates that all these people from all these nations, bringing the grain of their first harvest, would be in Jerusalem at the time when he poured out his Spirit in a supernatural way. because his people were faithful in waiting for it. And the very harvest that that spirit produces in them saves 3,000 souls on the first day. Isn't that phenomenal? What a different harvest God had in mind. And what a beautiful thought that he takes the first fruit of what we can do, and then he exchanges it for the Holy Spirit who produces the real fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and? Sorry? Meekness, gentleness. It's so beautiful how God has perfect timing. On that day, Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, that was the day that God organized to pour out his Spirit, which meant they would have been devoting themselves to prayer for 10 days in the upper room, devoting themselves to prayer, waiting. I mean, some of us can't even wake up for the early morning prayer meeting on a Thursday, which is only 40 minutes. Imagine 10 days of devoting yourself to prayer. 10 days. It's a long time. And yet God was saying, just keep praying. Your heart posture is what I'm looking at. Just keep praying. Wait. Devote yourself. I'm bringing my end of the promise. And when he brings his end of the promise, were they not blown away? The sound of a mighty rushing wind. The sound of a mighty rushing wind didn't just blow in and blow past. It says it filled the house. It filled the house. That must have been awe-inspiring. And then fire comes into the room, and tongues of fire rest on each one. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, that there were about 120 of them in the upper room. That's a lot of people. We're probably 120, maybe 130 today. A tongue of fire rests on each one that has been devoting themselves to prayer, expecting that God will give the promise that he promised. So you've got the sound of wind, you've got the tongues of fire, and then they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And what's so incredible is that God knew that every one of them needed the Holy Spirit for what they were going to do next. Because they then go out, and it says in Acts chapter 2 that it was about 9 a.m. in the morning. It talks about it being the third hour of the day, and they had watches in the day, in three-hour watches of the day. So it was about 9 a.m. in the morning, and they all burst out of the upper room. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're all speaking languages that are not their own. It says the Holy Spirit gave them each utterance as he wished, as he gave it to them. And people recognized their own language from where they were from. And they were like, these people must be drunk. And Peter says, no, it's 9 a.m. in the morning. How can they be drunk? They were filled with the Holy Spirit, already witnessing in languages that they had never learned, already telling people about Jesus as the Spirit overflowed out of them. And I love that then Peter stands up and he preaches with such power, such conviction. And 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000, that's a lot of people. We've just had Simply Jesus in Hilton, and I know that people got saved. I know of someone in this room today who's experienced Jesus in a very real way, and I'm so excited about that. So Peter stands up and preaches. He could have stood up and told the story of Jesus, and probably some people may have turned around and repented, but filled with the Holy Spirit, with the anointing and the witnessing power of the Holy Spirit, it witnessed to Jesus what he had done on this earth. He shared with them everything that they needed to know to become saved, and they were miraculously transformed. Jesus' promise to his disciples was fulfilled. He said, you'll receive power, and he said, you will be my witnesses. And those things happened. This promised outpouring is not just available to them. It is available to each one of us. Are you in each one today? Sitting wherever you are, you're in each one. The Holy Spirit is a promise for you as well. He's a promise for you as well. God wants to pour out his power on you, that you will be his witness. So just before we do an activity together, I wanted to just ask you, what barriers are you facing in terms of receiving the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Perhaps you have a background that is very conservative and you're not used to anything out the box. You're not used to having to press in yourself for the Holy Spirit. You don't even like the idea of the Holy Spirit using you to be a witness for Him. You don't perhaps want the power of the Holy Spirit. You just like your own little, you know, your own little world. So maybe your background is very conservative and is like a barrier for you. Maybe you just have a preference for very tight structure. You've got to know what time we start and finish and who's doing what and don't want anything unexpected. And God, as we know, does the unexpected. Maybe you like to feel in control. We all like a little bit of control, don't we? And you don't actually want to surrender. And your spirit is saying, I'm not surrendering to something that I don't fully understand. Or maybe you want to know exactly what the recipe is. Just tell me exactly how it's going to work, what I'm going to have to do, and then I'll consider if I like that recipe and whether I'm going to be part of it. That could be a barrier. Maybe you're not willing yet to receive. You desire the Holy Spirit, but you don't actually want to receive Him yet. So there's a little bit of a hunger in you, but you don't feel quite ready to receive that power that we read about in the book of Acts. Or maybe you just don't feel safe. I need to tell you today that being filled with the Holy Spirit's power and being His witness is the safest thing you could ever do. Jesus wants to give you the best gift. He calls it the promise of His Father. The promise of His Father. We read all these beautiful scriptures about fathers giving good gifts to their children. How much more will your Heavenly Father want to give good gifts to those who love Him? This is a good gift. This is something that will be safe for your life because the Holy Spirit will teach you and instruct you in the way that you will go as you follow the Lord. This is the best thing that you could trust God for, and you don't need to fear it. You don't need to even worry about your pride. You can put all your doubts aside and say, they're not going to have a space at this table because I actually want to give myself completely to what God wants to do with my life. So we've been talking a lot about getting into the boat. Get in the boat and go fishing for Jesus. Go and make disciples. But maybe you don't want to get in the boat because you know you don't have the power to do it. I know I don't feel I have the strength to do it myself. But me and the Holy Spirit, Him filling me, giving me the power, I'm 100% in that boat. Because I know that God will do it, not me. If you want to read more about this expectancy of waiting on God, yearning for God, desiring and hungering for God, go and read the Psalms. David was constantly pressing in to the Lord, saying, I wait on You, I cry out to You. My soul thirsts for You. He was very hungry for more of God, and maybe that will stir up in you more of a hunger. But I thought this morning an activity we would do, and don't panic all the introverts, you're not going to have to like do anything crazy. We're going to just quietly with the Lord have a time of contemplation where it's you and God, and it's you talking to God about the things that are in your heart, and no one has to know what's in your heart other than the Lord. So if you want to journal, you're welcome. But otherwise, just close your eyes and just surrender to the process. And we'll just spend a few minutes doing this. So we're just going to put some music on so that you don't hear chairs scraping and people coughing. And you can just focus on the Lord. So we're going to take a few moments to slow down. Just going to enter a time of prayer in the presence of our holy God. Jesus, come and meet us now. Take down our walls. Help us shed our pretense. Meet us where we really are today. We welcome You here. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Allow that truth to just sink in and pause and breathe and realize he's chosen you before the creation of the world. Lord, thank you that I'm yours. That I'm holy and blameless in your sight. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would highlight any thought patterns that you want to bring freedom to me. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, I ask that you renew my mind now. Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Truth. Is there anything untrue? Is there anything unsaid between me and God? Jesus invites me now to join him by gathering up my life as it truly is and giving it to him in prayer. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us. Approach God exactly as you are. Let his perfect love cast out any fear. Be completely honest with him now in prayer. Open and unafraid. Can you see the Father leaning down and listening, attentive to your heart? Open out your hands. Hold nothing back from your Father. He loves you so much. He's listening to your prayer. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, so do not be afraid. God, thank you that you go before us. Thank you that you will never leave us or forsake us. We choose you, Lord. We recognize that you are Lord, my God. Even though I don't know what's up ahead, I trust that you are good. And I choose to make space to hear you calling me deeper, closer. Lord, I think about all my doubts, my uncertainties and my fears and my pride. I ask myself, are there areas in my life, Lord, where I'm restricting you? Where I'm preventing the flow of your precious Spirit? Where am I seeing or hearing you, God, right now? God, what are you stirring my faith for right now? Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus, would you give me eyes to see you? Give me ears to hear you. Give me a heart that thirsts for you. Matthew 7, keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Thank you, Father, that you hear our heart cry and that you love to give us good gifts. I ask you for a real hunger for your Spirit to well up in me as a deer pants for flowing streams. May our souls pant for you, O God. May my soul thirst for you, God, for you, my living God. What does that look like? Holy Spirit, as you birthed your church with wind and fire, fan us into flame. Awaken us. Revive us again. And God would say, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heaven and on the earth. Can we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill us today. Renew our strength to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Holy Spirit, pour out on us. On your people. May we prophesy. May we have dreams and visions for the display of your glory. Lord, I long to witness the wonders and the signs and the glory of your Spirit in everyday life. And I ask, Lord, renew, reawaken, and release it today. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, show me how I can play my part in seeing your kingdom come here on earth. In my marriage, in my family, in my community, in everyday life. On earth as it is in heaven. We want more of your kingdom here on earth. We want more of your power here on earth. We want to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Lord, what is my Jerusalem? What is my Judea? Where is my Samaria? And what would the ends of the earth look like for me? Show me, Lord. Lord, we want more of you and less of me. Revive us by your powerful Holy Spirit. May we find rest in your beautiful presence, Lord. And may we go on in the work that you've begun, in the supernatural power that you give us. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you are faithful and unchanging. Thank you that every word written in this book of life holds the power to transform every life. And thank you that each one matters to you. We want to be part of the witnessing to the each ones of this world. So fill us, Holy Spirit, with your power. We want to be on mission for you. We don't want to look back over our shoulder. We want to go forward into new territory, into new adventures. In love with you, Lord Jesus. Empowered by your Holy Spirit. Equipped for the work that you purpose for us to do in this life. Take us on, Lord. Lead us on. Bring us to a place of completely surrendering our lives to you afresh. In Jesus' name. And we all say, Amen.